The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten, as it always is, by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1994. If you'd like to talk to them, say, thanks for underwriting Our State, or talk to me about insurance, give them a call. 919-781-1973. And now we're going to return for the final time to the February 2018 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This has been the aviation issue. We've done all the main articles. This is the fun time for me. We get to read a whole bunch of short things in here. They could be about food. They could be about places. They could be about things. I'm not really sure what this one is about. It's called The Matchmaker, but let's go ahead and find out. Coffee can perk you up, but tea might just fix what ails you. That's why a Greensboro Tea House takes such a personal approach to finding your perfect brew. Written by Robert Yuget Smith. We have some pictures here. There's a very pretty blonde woman who's got her hand on an out-of-focus teapot made of glass with a little one of those little tea lights underneath to heat it up. And then we have a little, some little wooden bowls. One says it's got lemongrass ginger in it. No, these are not bowls. I'm sorry. They're wooden spoons. And they look like bowls at the end. They're kind of deep. This one's lemongrass ginger. The large one in the center is berry mint basil gunpowder. Wow. And strawberry fields hibiscus. And the caption there says, Sarah Chapman, owner of Vita Pour Tea in Greensboro, steeps teas to ease all manner of modern-day maladies. Staring up at the menu board, the weary traveler looks utterly lost. It's early, and he's already been up for hours, having left Atlanta before dawn. He needs his morning jolt, but the quaint storefront he's stumbled into is not the coffee shop he's used to. Perhaps the string of brass goat bells jingling inside the front door, or the teapots burbling behind the bar, or the amber-colored salt lamps glowing on the wood tables should have given it away. This is a tea house. But Vita Pour Tea in Greensboro is more than that, too. For the non-tea drinker, the glass jars of exotic-smelling loose teas, roasted chestnut, ginger-laced pear, lavender rose, chocolate-covered strawberry, jasmine silver needle, can be vexing. The owner, Sarah Chapman, 4'11" of mellow good cheer, knows the bewildered, desperate look of a coffee drinker who is forced to contemplate tea. She's just made herself a peppermint, fenugreek, almond milk latte sweetened with local honey. Fenugreek is great for digestion, she tells the weary traveler. We make all kinds of funky stuff here. To which the chalkboard menu can attest. There's matcha, oolong, rooibos, the aged pu'er, along with herbs and add-ins like elderflower, slippery elm, cocoa nibs, turmeric, and St. John's wort. Each ingredient holds the promise of something more than just a caffeine surge to start the day. In fact, the only kind of customer Chaplin likes more than a coffee drinker is one who claims not to like tea at all. She gets a chance to change tastes and shape preferences. With a little gentle interrogation, Chapman tries to uncover what a person needs, even if they don't know exactly what they want. Any allergies? She asks. Sleep well? Stressed? Then she turns back into her tiny kitchen and conjures the perfect drink. Our traveler ends up with a roasted chestnut black tea almond milk latte with cinnamon and honey from bees that live a few miles away. Tea drinkers love it, but coffee drinkers swoon. Chapman's gentle, inquisitive approach pairs perfectly with a life centered on tea. But it wasn't always that way. Born in Syracuse, New York, where winter temps regularly stay below freezing, the petite Chapman spent her childhood playing, of all things, ice hockey. After big games, she and her father would celebrate or commiserate over warm cups of floral-scented green jasmine tea at the local Chinese restaurant. A simple ritual that quietly sparked her appreciation for tea's subtle ability to comfort and inspire. As a student at UNC Greensboro, she majored in fashion. One too many concussions convinced her to leave the ice and design women's hockey apparel instead. But on a school trip to Bangkok, Thailand, she got an up-close look at retail apparel in mass production. And that's where I said, nope, I don't want to be involved in that, she recalls. I've been a vegetarian my whole life. I've been interested in the welfare of people and the rights of people and animals. Thailand was super eye-opening. The final moment of clarity came when she inadvertently ingested contaminated water and spent the remainder of the trip in the hotel bathroom. I lost about 15 pounds. The only thing that got her through was the hotel's tea, which turned out to be Jasmine, her old friend. The trip was a short period of time, but it changed my life completely. In 2013, after years of research and tea tastings, Chapman found a 1940s building on State Street and opened Vida Por Tea, the name a play on the Spanish phrase Vida Por Ti, life for you. Fair trade and organic, with abundant vegan and gluten-free options, the shop's shelves are stocked with products made or grown by vendors whom Chapman has come to know. Most customers breeze in for a quick cup to go, and yes, she does sell coffee, but never has to brew more than one pot a day. Every once in a while, I'll have someone ask for a frappuccino, she laughs, and I say, let me make you something better. Frequent customers know to ask questions about which herbs and teas might recalibrate their mood or energy level. I've always had this kind of weird sense of being able to look at people and tell if they're a little sad or something, she says. You have to really listen to each person. Feeling foggy? There's a blend for that. Congested and getting ready to board a flight? Chapman's got you covered. Anxiety, edginess, even afternoon ennui? Chapman is willing to listen to complaints and offer a little help. This is not new, she says. Tea is an old thing as old as time. Or at least 500,000 years old, according to some archaeologists. Evidence of using plants for medicinal purposes goes back 60,000 years. Other than water, tea is consumed by more people than any other beverage on Earth. And, like wine, in which almost every variety, from Chardonnay to Pinot Noir, springs from one species of grape, Vitis vinifera, every kind of tea comes from one species of plant, Camellia sinensis. The leafy evergreen shrub is native to China, but now grows all over the world. What determines a tea's character and color has everything to do with soil, climate, processing, even method of harvest. Tea's seemingly contradictory characteristics of complexity and simplicity appeal to Chapman, It takes about 5 minutes from start to finish to make tea, she points out, but it's something that can comfort your whole soul. Vida Pour Tea, 412 State Street, Greensboro. Vida Pour Tea, that's VidaPourTea.com. And now we're going to go to the front of our state magazine and just start reading some of the regular sections, which have brief articles. This section is entitled, We Live Here, Neighborhood. And the subject this month is West Asheville. It's become one of Asheville's trendiest neighborhoods, yet the city's quirky, innovative food mecca still feels like a hidden treasure. For more than a century, Haywood Road has been the beating heart of West Asheville and the witness to decades of growth and transformation. Incorporated as its own town, separate from Asheville in 1889, the community sprang up around Haywood. By 1915, West Asheville boasted 4,000 residents, 10 stores, a fire department, and a bank. In 1917, it was absorbed into the larger city, but the neighborhood still retains that early independent streak. Today, it's where you'll find many of the restaurants on your Asheville checklist, as well as a few to add. And while the upscale restaurants, taquerias, bakeries, and boutiques that have recently opened have helped the area thrive, West Asheville still feels like the tight-knit community it's always been. These days, Haywood is still witness to transformation. Luckily, so are we. And the rest of this article, which was written by, I don't know who it was written by, it just is photography by Tim Robison, is all photos, so I will interpret them for you. At Taco Billy, try tacos filled with, and clockwise in the picture, pork and pickled onion, fried chicken and mango slaw, and sweet potato and kale. For those of you who eat kale. And this one is a picture that says a perfect duo tucked inside Flora, a leafy botanical boutique, is Forage. Forage, F-O-R-A-G-E, an equally trendy coffee shop. They have lots of greenery in here. Some of it is strung in big bushy trails along the wall. And then there's three wreaths. And there's lots of plants that are on display. And then there's a couple here having coffee. Not tea, coffee this time. And then we have four photos over here. It says, four good reasons not to skip breakfast on Haywood Road. And the first one is a fried chicken biscuit with mushroom gravy at Biscuit Head. There's a plate with a fried egg on top of a chicken biscuit. It says a fried chicken biscuit with mushroom gravy. I can't really tell what's under the egg, but it looks like it might be kind of a biscuit on top of a piece of fried chicken, I guess is what we're looking at. And then the little bowl of something on the side. And then we have a twist on avocado toast and a Bloody Mary with bacon at the Sunny Point Cafe. The lady's holding the Bloody Mary, and it has a whole bunch of fruit and vegetables stuck on a toothpick running along the top and a straw, and she's got a plate which has the avocado toast with bacon. Again, I see an egg on top, it's a fried egg, but it looks like somebody dribbled something along it, a little bit of balsamic vinegar or oil or something like that, and a lot of salad, and then something solid on the bottom. Must be the piece of toast. And there's avocado in there somewhere, I just don't see it. And then we have Korean wings on a waffle at King Daddy's. And there are the Korean barbecued chicken wings. It looks like they might have little sesame seeds on them on top of a waffle with something orange on the side. Looks like it possibly is some carrots cut up. Not really sure. And the cocoa rub almond sesame and bourbon molasses donuts at Hull. And those three donuts are pictured on this page. Overleaf, Josie Mielke turned her hobby into one of the country's first cider brew pubs at Urban Orchard Cider Company. If you can snag a dinner reservation at the Admiral, try the Swordfish Crudo. And there's a picture of it here. Plate, it's kind of like a bowl plate, little lips on the edge of it. Got lots of color in there. There's red and there's light green, there's dark green. The dark green looks like it's some kind of, it could be a piece of basil or something like that. It's a leafy vegetable, and I don't know what the other things are. And I guess the swordfish is underneath because I'm not really seeing it. Or head to Isis, terrible beginning name, Isis Music Hall, built in 1937 for pepper-crusted ahi tuna and a show. And here's the pepper-crusted ahi tuna. Boy, is that rare in the center. They just went zzz on the outside, and then they put the crust on it, and the rest is very raw. And we see little shredded potato, I guess it is, on top. And then we see five guys performing with guitars and a bass on a fiddle on the right-hand side. You are listening to Our State Magazine on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And if you have any questions or comments on our program, please call 919-832-5138. We Live Here, Part 2. This is Farm Tour, Liberty, The Good Shepherds. Roy and Ann Fay spent decades working in education, but at Rising Meadow Farm, they found a new flock to tend to. And here we see a sheep staring right at the camera. In a field across from a horse pasture, eight rams congregate in the shade, munching on fescue and waiting for their moment to sire more bundles of woolly cuteness. Newborn lambs are irresistibly cute, their fleece not exactly as white as snow, but plenty fluffy. In another field, nearly 50 ewes dot the meadow, some with heads lowered, some lying on their bellies. A bucolic scene. Toward the end of October, the ewes and rams mix and mingle. 5 months later, in the spring, the lambs wobble into the world with an ear-piercing baa. Cute, cute, cute. But before you get all cuddly, remember this. They're not pets. Rising Meadow Farm near Liberty is a working farm, and these lambs are here for making things, not just for eliciting awes. Many will be sheared for wool and yarn. It's not a petting zoo, says Ann Fay, who, along with her husband Ron, bought this 128-acre farm in 1993. But she can't help herself when standing in a room where she sells her hand-dyed yarn, she sees a picture of a little lamb. A cute little guy, she says. But they have to get big before they can provide wool for sweaters, socks, and rugs. Oh, and shield your ears for meat. And my, how they grow. These lambs grow by leaps and bounds. You can almost see them grow, Ann says. Ron and Fay are an improbable farm couple, both had decades-long careers in education. Ron spent more than 20 years as the headmaster of an independent school in Nashville, while Ann worked in school development and public relations. Originally from Vermont in the Boston area, they lived in New York, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee before deciding their lives needed a course correction. It was the early 1990s, and they were in their early 50s. And we thought if we were ever going to do something different, we needed to do it now, Ann says. They thought about moving to the country and starting a corporate retreat for white-collar types who needed a break from the city. Going back up north would be too cold for farming, and they wanted a change of scenery from Nashville. So they honed in on North Carolina. Their daughters Beth and her husband Winfield, also craving a rural way of life, joined the search for land. When they found this undulating spread of meadows and woodlands along Williams Dairy Road, they saw great potential. Never mind the overgrown cornfields and two old houses gone to seed. The place was picturesque, remote, quiet. They hired workers to refurbish the houses. One home went to Beth and Winfield, the other to Ann and Ron, who ran a bed and breakfast there for several years. They brought their dozen or so sheep and added many more to the flock. At their peak production, the Fays had more than 200 ewes for breeding. Now approaching their late 70s, Ron and Ann have winnowed the number to about a quarter of that number, easing the workload. These days, they also have four alpacas, a couple of llamas, and a flock of free-range chickens. They open their farm to the public on three occasions during the year. During shearing day in February, which is celebrated with a potluck lunch, Scottish fiddlers, and demonstrations by a renowned sheep shearer. The farm is open again for a day in the spring and for Farm Fest held on the last Saturday in September. It's really good to let people come to a farm and understand what happens and look out and see the animals on the pasture, Ann says. You can come by the farm for wool or lamb meat at any time of the year if you call ahead. Sometimes the Fays will get calls from people who just want to show the animals to their kids. That's fine, too. It's been a wonderful thing to be here, says Ron, just in from clearing brush on his Massey Ferguson tractor. I love working with animals, and working is the key word. If only lambs weren't so darn cute. That was written by Brian Mims, reporter, WRAL in Raleigh. Rising Meadow Farm is on Williams Dairy Road in Liberty, North Carolina, just smack dab in the middle of the state. RisingMeadow.com is their website. Another We Live Here article under the title Gathering Place, Wilmington, Cup by Cup. This is a shorty. There's a picture here. It says, at Biddy and Bowes, Jessamy Guillaume and Trevor Jefferson make a cheerful team, both providing coffee and smiles. It's a big, open, very, very high-ceiling shop. Very bright, very light colors. There's a one wall above the first level where there are some lights underneath the wall there, and above it says Wall of Thanks. And I see Thomas Construction Group in the middle, but I can't read any of the other names. So obviously a whole bunch of people contributed to the building here, but it's a very, very high ceiling. Over the high front windows, there's windows and a transom. It's high enough to have a great big picture of something there. Sure, coffee lovers come to Biddy and Bowes for steaming lattes and frothy cappuccinos, but they're equally drawn in by the cafe's mission. Realizing a need for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to find employment and purpose, Amy and Ben Wright opened their coffee shop, named for their two youngest children, who have Down syndrome, in January 2016, employing 19 workers with IDD, that's intellectual and developmental disabilities. Today, folks congregate, chat, and hold meetings at tables, a wood slab bar, banquettes, a lounge area with sofas, and even a glass-enclosed conference community room, all of which is overseen daily by Amy and a rotating, cheerful crew of 40. Matt, the 48-year-old designated giver of first impressions and tour director, points out the U.S. map featuring pins indicating the origins of Biddy and Bowes visitors. North Carolina is one big red blob, plus the post-its from France, Thailand, and other far-flung locales. At Biddy and Bowes, fellowship, inclusivity, and valuing everyone's capabilities creates community one cuppa at a time. And that's garnered national interest. In 2017, Amy was named CNN's Hero of the Year. In her acceptance speech, she spoke directly to her children. I would not change you for the world, but I will change the world for you. The writer is Susan Stafford Kelly, and Biddy and Bowes is a new center drive in Wilmington. Biddy and Bowes Coffee Shop. Bow is the long spelling, B-E-A-U. We Live Here, another section, Shopkeep, the power of purple. A trip to take heart means leaving with your arms and your heart fuller than before. You can't miss it, the little lavender building adorned with twinkly white lights. Take Heart Boutique in Blowing Rock looks a bit like somebody's garden cottage, except it's on Main Street. It kind of stands out, owner Sherry Furman admits, laughing. But Furman has a good feeling about opening the boutique. And that sort of hunch is how she assembles stock, too. Each year she asks a question that every new item has to answer. Say, is it comforting? The fuzzy sweaters, candles, and shea butter soap sure are. Or is it lovely? The heart pattern stationery and that wooden sign paraphrasing Walt Whitman, "We were together, I forget the rest." Certainly. Couple this cozy curation with Furman's bright and kindly spirit, and you can see why loyal customers, or rather local customers, are regulars at the shop and why tourists devotedly return, no matter how much time has gone by. Blowing Rock is where people vacation, Furman says. You see people you haven't seen in a year, so on a good day, it feels like a homecoming. Emma LaPerruque wrote that. The shop is on Main Street in Blowing Rock, and that's all you need to know in Blowing Rock. If you want to call them, it's 828-295-3444. And we just have a minute or so left, so I think what I'm going to do is go back to the front of the magazine where we have three photographs from the different regions and give you a little description of them. The first is under, these are under the heading, "This is North Carolina." The western region, Watauga County, just off of Highway 105 between Boone and Linville, a red barn bridge crosses the Watauga River into the Sleepy Hollow community near Fusco. Generations ago, a farmstead on the site was accessible only by ford or footbridge. When developers planned Sleepy Hollow in the 1960s and 70s, they found inspiration for the entrance to their community in the 1911 Pisgah-covered bridge in Randolph County. The Sleepy Hollow Bridge isn't quite so historic yet, but on snowy days in the mountains, it looks right at home, and the photo is a snowy day, snow-covered ground. The river runs through it, as they say, and the bridge is above it. It's on some stacked stone pilings. It's a classic covered bridge, one lane it looks like, and it has windows high up on the side and one fairly low in the middle. And overleaf, Yadkin County, by the time Yadkin River reaches the namesake county in the foothills of North Carolina, it's been flowing east for miles. And this is the photo. It's taken in a snowy kind of time of year. There seems to be some snow on the ground and maybe a little bit on each of the trees, or that could be ice, and the river is running through the middle. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, call us, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.